Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
Let's pray and ask the Lord to be with us and bless us, okay? Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the grace that you've given us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much, Lord, for your precious promises, for your word. Lord, we're very much earthbound, Lord. We ask for your grace to understand your word, Lord, that you would open our eyes and open our ears to be perceptive to the wonderful things you've hidden in your word. We know you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but you reveal it unto babes. And Lord, in our weakness, that's what we desire of you, Lord, your grace to help us discern, help us to understand the things that are coming, Lord, that we're not deceived and led astray by the traditions of men, by the deceptions that are coming upon this world, because we trust in you, Lord, to save us in all things. Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, brethren, our last study, we discovered something that I wanted to continue with, and that was I shared a vision with you that I got in 1996 where the Lord showed me a vision of America as Nineveh. And, of course, Nineveh was the head of the Assyrian Empire. It was one of the beast kingdoms that conquered Israel. And if you remember, I shared with you also that that there's been six of these up until the time of Jesus. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome. And that each one of these is a type and a shadow of the end time beast kingdom. Types and shadows can be seen from them. And I pointed out to you Assyria, how it represented the end time beast kingdom. And folks, I'm sure that it shocked some of you to find out that the head of the one world order at this time is America. No, you don't want to receive that. Well, that's okay, but it's going to come to pass. Because just as Nineveh was the head of the Assyrian Empire, America is the head of the UN, what is ultimately going to be the Dragon Empire, which is all nations in one world order. So I want to continue that and look at a few other types. One of them is Babylon, and maybe we'll get to a little bit of Rome, too. It's very interesting that Babylon in the Bible had the same symbol as America. Matter of fact, Rome did too. But I'll talk about Babylon first. In Ezekiel chapter 17 and verse 3, we're told, "Thus saith the Lord, a great eagle with great wings and long pinions full of feathers, which had divers colors, came unto Lebanon and took the top of the cedar, and cropped off the topmost of the young twigs thereof, and carried it unto a land of traffic." By the way, that's Babylon. Carried it to Babylon. Okay. Well, who is this great eagle with great wings? Well, if you go down to verse 12, we see that he says, "Say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon, the great eagle, came to Jerusalem and took the king thereof and the princes thereof and brought them to him unto Babylon." We're going to study this a little later, not tonight, but some other night, what Ezekiel 17 is speaking about. But it is obvious from the interpretation that we're given right there in the text that Babylon was the great eagle. The symbols that ancient kingdoms had represent end time kingdoms. People say, "Well, I've never seen America in the Bible." Well, it's because it's hidden. God hides these things from the wise and prudent and reveals it unto babes. It's hidden on purpose. It's hidden so that the Pharisees of our day don't get to see it. because all they see is the letter. You know, they're the ones that teach, well, America's not in the Bible. It's because it's going to be passed away before all these things happen. That's baloney, folks. America's going to be here all the way up until the end of the tribulation. I have absolute proof of that. And we'll talk about that sometime. But right now I want to point out to you what Babylon could mean and some how to prove that these symbols are actually what they are. Well, you know, in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 4, Babylon was called a lion with eagle's wings. And pointing out, of course, that Babylon got its start from the lion as being part of the British Empire. You go to Britain and you see the lion on everything. That's their symbol. And all the cubs, of course, are all the children of the British Empire, including America, which has the great eagle's wings, right? And Jeremiah 51 that talks about Babylon identifies her with the lion's cubs. Chapter 51, verse 38 says, "They shall roar together like young lions. They shall growl as lions' whelps. And when they are heated, I will make their feast. I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the Lord." Well, you remember what happened in Babylon just before the Medo-Persian Empire conquered them, actually came in underneath the wall and took the city without really much of a fight. They were all getting drunk and using the vessels of the Lord's house, drinking wine out of the vessels of the Lord's house, Belshazzar. You remember the story? And the handwriting came on the wall, and it said, "This night." Now look, that night they fell. You know who the vessels of God's house are, don't you? That's God's people. They are the vessels of His house. And the wine represents their blood. You see, the harlot is guilty of the blood of the saints and of the prophets. They have been partaking at this particular time, at the fall of America, they have been persecuting the saints. Okay? So you see, both Babylon and America have a mother that is the lion. Here's some examples you can pick out of Jeremiah chapter 50. Number one, in verse 37, he says that they are a mingled people. Well, now think about how many nations you can go to, folks, that are not considered a mingled people, or we call them melting pots, right? America is known as a melting pot, meaning it's many, many mingled people put together. All the nations of the world have come to America for one reason, because America trades with all the nations of the world. America's prosperous. Some of those people are coming out of adverse circumstances in their own nations, not the freedom that we have, not the luxuries that we have, not the, you know, the prosperity that we've had here. All that's going to change, folks. But the Bible says in Revelation 18 that Babylon trades with all who have ships in the sea. Revelation 18 is making it very plain that there is an end time nation that's called Babylon. That's trading with the whole world, that's the richest nation in the world, Revelation 18, 3, 7, 19. Now, that doesn't fit natural Babylon, does it? Well, I would say the mingled people here doesn't fit natural Babylon either. In fact, there's quite a few things in here that don't fit in this prophecy natural Babylon, but they do fit America. For instance, in verse 40, it says, speaking about how Babylon is ultimately going to fall. And any of you that's been following prophecy for very long, you know how it's going to fall. It's going to fall in a world war, a nuclear world war. Just the way Babylon fell. Babylon fell to the bear in a nuclear world war this time. Well, it says here, "As when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities thereof, says the Lord, so shall no man dwell there, neither shall any son of man sojourn therein." Well, that's interesting. You know, Babylon, natural Babylon, didn't fall by fire out of heaven like Sodom and Gomorrah. But Modern-day Babylon will. Revelation 18 tells us that. So this prophecy fits America and the future of America much better than it fits Babylon. Matter of fact, like I was saying a while ago, Babylon fell when the Medes and the Persians lowered the water of the Euphrates River. They diverted the river. They went, because Babylon stretched across the Euphrates River, they went down the dry riverbed and walked right underneath the gates and right into the city. And then the city, the gates on either banks were left unlocked because God said he was going to leave them unlocked. In Isaiah. And they walked right into the city. Wasn't any Sodom and Gomorrah type thing. Well, verse 41. It says, behold, a people cometh from the north, a great nation, and many kings shall be stirred up from the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, that wasn't true of natural Babylon, the uttermost parts of the earth. Of natural Babylon, their next door neighbors took them out. And I don't even think it was from the north. It was mostly from the east instead of from the north. Notice it says, a great nation and many kings. You know who the great nation is? The great nation that took Babylon out was the Medo-Persian bear and many kings. Well, it wasn't so many kings with Babylon, but this time it will be many, many nations. Matter of fact, the whole UN is going to fall out with America. They're going to be led by the Russian bear. China will be there. And all nations are going to rise up against America. Oh, no, it's not immediately. It's a little ways down the road, but it is coming. And the prophecies that we see in Jeremiah 50 and 51 and many other places, you know, Isaiah 13 and places like that, cover the fall of America much better than they do natural Babylon. You want to read a couple more? Yeah, here's one right here. Verse 46. It says, at the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth trembleth, and the cry is heard among the nations. Wow. The noise. What noise are you talking about? The noise of the taking of Babylon is mentioned over in chapter 25. In chapter 25, it speaks of Babylon bringing the sword of wrath, the cup of the wine of wrath, to all nations, and then it coming back to her. And it speaks about her drinking this cup of the wrath in 27, 28, 29, said you shall surely drink. And then down in verse 31, it begins to speak about this noise. It says, a noise shall come even unto the end of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. You see, this is going to be a world war, not just Babylon. Natural, not just Babylon spiritual is going to fall, but many nations are going to fall right here. He hath a controversy with the nations, and he will enter into judgment with all flesh. As for the wicked, he will give them to the sword, says the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great tempest shall be raised up from the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what that evil going forth is? Nuclear missiles. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. And they shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried, and they shall be dung upon the face of the ground. Of course, they're kind of radiated, you know. So they just leave them there. Well, what kind of a noise? A noise that's from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. This is a world war we're talking about, folks. He said that the earth trembleth. You can imagine that, right? The earth trembling. It says in Jeremiah 51, in verse 2, it says that the nations are about her around about. The day of trouble shall come and will be against her around about, all the way around her. You know, that's the way end time Babylon is going to fall, the richest nation on the face of the earth, the mightiest military up until this particular war. You know, the Bible says after 70 years, Babylon will fall in Jeremiah 25. After 70 years. Also Jeremiah 27, 29. After 70 years. Well, in 70 AD, apostate Israel, which was called a harlot too, fell 70 A.D. That's 70 years after the birth of the man-child. And the Lord told me that that represented 7 years. 7 years. At the end, America is going to ride the UN beast all the way through the tribulation and fall at the end. And the enemies will be against her round about. In verse 13 it says, O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, the measure of thy covetousness. Many waters. Can you imagine him saying that about natural Babylon out in the middle of a desert with the Euphrates River going through the middle of it? Because many waters is used other places in the scriptures, and it's meaning just that. Many waters. Many seas, many oceans, many waters. Not just one water. And the harlot sits upon many waters. So you see, these prophecies are more to do with the end time than they are with the first fulfillment. You know, the first fulfillment of any prophecy is not the greatest fulfillment. The greatest fulfillment is the last fulfillment. See, some people don't realize that prophecies have more than one fulfillment. The first time they're fulfilled naturally, usually the next time and thereafter they're fulfilled spiritually. In this case, America's not Babylon physically. America's Babylon spiritually. It is the greatest end time nation. It's the greatest. It's the nation that heads up the other nations of the world, as we're about to see. Okay. Let me point out a little bit of history to you in Habakkuk. Okay. Habakkuk gives us the story of the Chaldeans being raised up to rule the nations and to chasten God's people. Chapter 1, verse 5. Says, and you'll recognize exactly what's happening in our day, folks. It's almost like a newspaper here. You say, well, I don't know about Babylon, but that sure looks like America. That's exactly right. Verse 5. Behold ye among the nations, and look and wonder marvelously, for I am working a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I will raise, and it is true. I mean, when you tell this to people, they do not believe it. Most Americans, for instance, do not believe it. Verse 6, for lo, I will raise up the Chaldeans, Babylonians, that bitter and hasty nation that marcheth through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Well, folks, that's what's happening. And you're reading God's opinion here. Not man's opinion, not the patriotic opinion, but you're reading God's opinion here. Okay? They possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and dignity proceed from themselves. Yes, you know, patriotism is like that. You may respect yourself. You may hold yourself in high esteem, but others may not feel that way about you. And I guarantee you it's getting that way more and more in the world right now. Concerning America and Americans. Verse 8. Their horses are also swifter than leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen press proudly on. Yea, their horsemen come from far. They fly as the eagle. Yeah, all their horsepower, folks, when it goes overseas, it flies like the eagle. And hasteth to devour. They come, all of them, for violence. The set of their faces is forwards. It's interesting, but the footnote here says, towards the east. Isn't that interesting that all the wars that we're in now, in the end time, in the timing of what's being talked about here, are going towards the east, right? And they gather captives as sand. Have you watched the pictures in Afghanistan and then Iraq, you know, how that they herded multitudes of these people up. Yea, he scoffeth at kings, and princes are a derision unto him. Yeah, look at Saddam, you know. He derideth every stronghold, for he heapeth up dust and taketh it. Did you notice that several of the cities that they took, how they took them, they bulldozed up a mountain of sand all the way around them so that they could defend themselves and so that people couldn't come and go as they pleased. You know, terrorists striking at them and so on and so forth. They took several cities like that. Then shall they sweep by as a wind and shall pass over and be guilty, even he whose might is his God. Well, it's interesting, folks, that we're not attacking Russia and China right now, folks. It's nations that we're pretty sure we can whoop, you know. And, that's the reason they're doing it is because they feel like they can get away with it. Well, David, what would we do? I'm not getting into that right now. I'm just pointing out to you what the Scriptures are saying about Babylon and how very, very close it is to what's going on right now. You'll have to make up your mind that you're on God's side rather than America's side and that your kingdom is not of this world. You'll have to make up that mind for yourself. The Bible says in verse 12 there, it says, "Thou hast ordained him for judgment, and thou hast established him for correction." Yes, God is raising up a beast empire for just that. Every beast empire that's ever been raised up, of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, and then revived Rome, and the dragon, and the beast of Revelation 13, these were all of them are raised up for judgment and for correction. And it's always been for God's people, every last time, for God's people. And if you go on down to chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "Behold, his soul is puffed up. It's not right in him. But the righteous shall live by his faith." And it's so true, folks. Even though America might be wrong and a lot of things they're doing, the righteous shall live by faith. And America will bring the whole world to persecute Christians. You watch and see what I'm telling you. It is coming. You're going to be hated of all nations, and America's going to be right at the top of the heap, as it has been. Verse 5, "Yea, moreover, wine is treacherous, a haughty man that keepeth not at home, who enlargeth his desire as Sheol." He's still talking about Babylon here. "Keepeth not at home, enlargeth his desire. And he is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations." Wow, isn't that neat? We've got a one world order here, folks. We got Babylon at the head of a one world order, like the image of the beast in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 3. That's what Babylon was, and that's what America is. "Gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all peoples. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, Woe unto him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And that ladeth himself with pledges. Do you know what happens when America goes into another nation? They go out to get pledges from the nations to join with them in one form or another. They go out there and they bribe them with one thing or another to join in with them. And it is to increase that which does not belong to America. "Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booty unto them?" In other words, what goes around comes around. If you live by the sword, you die by the sword. If you plunder others, you get plundered. That's God's law. And he doesn't care that you're talking about America here, folks. He doesn't care. It's still what you sow, you reap. "Because thou hast plundered many nations, all the remnant of the peoples," notice that, "shall plunder thee. Because of men's blood, and for the violence done unto the land, to the city, and to all that dwell therein." What you sow, you will reap. "Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the hand of evil." Now, why have we been doing this? Isn't it because we want to be delivered from the hand of evil? Why, after 9/11, did they go and take Afghanistan? Because they wanted to bring it to the enemy, right? They wanted to take the war to them. They didn't want it to come here. And they thought this was the best way to do it. Well, you understand that's a worldly principle, but it's not a Christian principle. And we as Christians, of course, are held by the Word of God, the laws of the Word of God. And, you know, he said if a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. There's been times when America's been at peace. And there's been times when God's people have been at peace. But now God's raising up an enemy to them. And through the Scriptures, whenever he's done that, it's because they were apostate. Every time. And now God's raising up a one world order against apostate Christianity. That's right. Thou hast devised shame to thy house by cutting off many peoples, and hast sinned against thy soul. And on and on. I'm not going to go any further than that, though. Well, you see, Babylon built a one world order. They were at the head of the nations, and they used that to conquer nations. They used that to bring God's people into subjection, because God's people were rebellious. And if we look deeper into this parable of Babylon, we can see an awful lot. I like, for instance, Daniel chapter 2, where it speaks of the one world order and the image of the beast. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 through 35, he describes the image of the beast. And it's all nations, starting from Daniel's day all the way up until our day, is the revelation of it. That's the historic view of this revelation. You know, the historic view, of course, is seeing this parable of the image of the nations as one man, as one image, starting from Daniel's day to our day. That's the historic view. It's the common view of this. But there's another view, and they're both true. And it's called the end time view. The end time view is not very well known. Okay, but it's mentioned here in verse 28. It says, "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and he has made known unto the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days." The latter days. You see, this is not only a historic view from his day to ours, but it's also a view of the image of the beast of the end times. That's right. So if you start out, I'll just skip through here pretty quickly. It says, "Behold, a great image. Its head was of fine gold." That's Babylon. "Its breast and arms of silver." That's Medo-Persia. "Its belly and thighs of brass." That's Greece. "Its legs of iron," that was Rome. "Its feet of iron, part of iron and part of clay," that's revived Rome in our day. And it goes on to say, "A stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon its feet." Of course, that's our day, right? If you look at the historic view, I'll look at the end time view in a minute. If it smote it on its feet, that's the end time image of the beast. "Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken in pieces together." Verse 35. Wow. You mean the end time image is smitten and all of these kingdoms crumble together. That's exactly right. The Bible gives an interpretation of this in verse 44. It says, "In the days of those kings," that's the ten toes, that's the feet of the image of the beast, "shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms and shall stand forever." Well, the end time kingdom of God, represented by the mountain, and the stone that rolls down out of the mountain, I believe probably would be the man-child kingdom, but I can't absolutely prove that, but I believe that's what it means. It rolls down out of the mountain, the kingdom of God, and hits the image of the beast in the toes and crumbles the whole kingdom all the way back to Daniel. How can that be? Well, the thing is, because kingdoms don't really pass away, the people just go on. You know, I mean, if you look at the same story in Daniel chapter 7, it says, "Their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a time and a season." You know, the dominion of each individual kingdom, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, so on and so, they lost their dominion in their day, but their people passed on and on and on until this day. And you know what? We have the seed of all of these kingdoms alive today in a one world order. It's called the UN. The seed of all of these kingdoms is alive today. Meaning, of course, that in our day, the kingdom of heaven could smite that image of the beast in our day and destroy it all the way back. Because all of their seed are now with us in a one world empire. Now, if you want to look at this in an end time view, look at it this way, that all of this is going to happen in the end. It not only happened throughout history from Daniel to us, but it's all going to happen in the end. Because now, the head of gold, Babylon, is the United States, the great eagle. And who's the second in command here? Yeah, that's right, the bear. Medo-Persian, bear. Also, by the way, these are wars that are going to happen in the end of time, the great and terrible day of the Lord. The bear is going to conquer the eagle. In Daniel 7, it talks about the lion with eagle's wings. The wings will be plucked, and it will be made to stand as a man. The wings will be plucked. That's the fall of America, folks. God is preparing the world for this great image of the beast to be manifested to persecute the saints. Yep, history just repeats. It just repeats in larger and larger scales. Like Babylon, the U.S. leads the United Nations as the head of the image of the beast. We see the head of this image in Daniel chapter 2 is Babylon, the great eagle, and it rules over that whole beast in the end time view of this. And the same way, America is right now riding atop the United Nations. The harlot in Revelation chapter 13, the harlot is riding the seven-headed, ten-horned beast. The seven heads, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome. The seat of all of those kingdoms is in an end-time kingdom now. And it's about to be called the dragon when the covenant is made, the dragon of Revelation 12. Verse 37, Thou, O King, art King of Kings. Wow, that's interesting. The eagle was the King of Kings. It was the King over the kings. Unto whom the God of heaven hath given the kingdom. Yes, the Lord is giving the world over to America. And verse 38 says, And wheresoever the children of men dwell, and it goes on to say, Hath he made thee to rule over them all. Thou art the head of gold. Wherever men dwell, he's made you to rule over them all. And you imagine, is there any other nation that fits that today? The United Nations has been having its way. Excuse me, the United States has been having its way with the United Nations for some time. And it's going to get worse. It is in the 7 years of tribulation that speaks about the harlot riding the back of the beast. And he hath made them, to rule over them all. Thou art the head of gold. And chapter 3, the king made an image of gold. The revelation that Nebuchadnezzar had, that God gave also to Daniel so he could explain it to him, he put this into an image. He's pointing out to you what are all of these world ruling nations and the people under them. They are the image of the beast. The king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits. Excuse me, 60 cubits, which is 60. And breadth thereof was 6 cubits, which is 6. And he set it up on the plain of Dura, which means dwelling or circle. You know what the earth is? It is a dwelling and it is a circle. And by the way, the word for world is, the gematria is 600. When you add up the Greek letters, which also stand for numbers, it comes up to 600. So now you got 660 and 6. This is the image of the beast, folks. And guess what it is? All world-ruling nations with the people under them. All of them. The whole world lieth in the evil one, the Bible says. Jesus said there are only two men in the earth. One will be taken, one will be left. You are one man in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3 says. That only leaves two men. One man in Christ Jesus. All Christians are one man in Christ Jesus, and the whole world lieth in the evil one. That only leaves two men. Does this fit Scripture? I mean, one of them is Christ and one of them is Antichrist, right? Yes, it does. It fits Scripture very well. 1 John 4, 2 through 4 says, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come. He's talking about the come in your flesh, folks. Is Christ in you? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, not has come, is come. Present tense. What flesh is Jesus coming in now? He's coming in our flesh. Is come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Notice it says every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is the spirit of the Antichrist. Are you noticing that the Antichrist is a corporate body of spirits that dwell in a corporate body of people who don't know God? That's clearly what it says. The Bible doesn't say anything else about the Antichrist. That's all it says right there. So, we see here that there is two bodies of people. It goes on to say, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's in the world? The spirit of Antichrist? The spirit of the Antichrist is in the world? Well, who's in us? The spirit that is from heaven? The spirit of Christ? If any man hath not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We have the reborn spirit of Christ from heaven. They have the spirit born from beneath, as Jesus called it. Spirit of the pit. Cometh up out of the pit, the Bible calls it. Now, what are we seeing here? Well, as head, the corporate harlot of the United States rides the corporate UN beast through the tribulation. How do we know that? Well, you know, people have said that they thought maybe America would fall before the tribulation, but at the same time they say they know America is the harlot. I'm not denying the fact that there is also a religious harlot, but all the parables have more than one interpretation like that. There is a religious harlot, but also there is a secular harlot, and that is America. So, if the harlot rides the beast in Revelation 17, for instance, that's not the first beast of Revelation 12. That's the second beast of the second 3.5 years in Revelation 17 that harlot is riding. Matter of fact, she rides it all the way through the second 3.5 years and is devoured and destroyed at the end of that time. Revelation 17:1 says, the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters. There it is again. Exactly what we saw in Jeremiah 51. America sits on many waters, truly many waters, and trades with all nations. Everybody that has ships in the sea is the greatest end-time nation, like Revelation 18 says. So the great harlot sits upon many waters. But verse 3 also says, I saw the woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So, she's sitting on waters, but she's sitting on the beast. That must be some kind of a parallel revelation, right? Well, it calls her, in verse 5, and upon her forehead, a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. There it is, the great eagle. Mystery Babylon the Great. And then, down in 15, it says, the waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So, we see that the beast represents the waters, represents peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. 7 heads, meaning, of course, the 7 world-ruling empires and all of their seed, is in this one world order in the end of time. So you see the parallel here? We are talking about a harlot riding upon the top of a one world order. The U.S. over the U.N. It's not the U.R., folks. The U.R. would have been the image of Daniel's beast back at the thighs. They're trying to put the Roman Empire back together the way it was back then instead of east and west. No. The Bible says specifically that this Roman Empire will be divided by the clay. It will not cleave one to another. They're trying to put these nations cleaving one to another, but Daniel said that won't happen. They're separated by clay. Meaning, of course, the original Roman Empire, the people of that empire spread throughout the earth, and they're separated now by clay, which was never part of the iron. The iron was the Roman Empire. So, we're talking about the harlot sitting upon this one world order, this one man, this image of the beast, just like in Daniel chapter 2, Babylon sat at the top of this body of the image of the beast. Same way, same thing. And verse 18 says that woman reigneth over the kings of the earth. And of course, God put it in their heart to cast her down and burn her with fire. Now that's the fall of America. And it's notice, she was riding upon the beast of the second 3.5 years. The fall of America will be at the end of the 7 years, as we said earlier, and as the Lord showed us about Nineveh. Nineveh, which was the head of the world empire of Assyria, was delayed from destruction from before the tribulation of God's saints to after the tribulation of God's saints. God delayed the destruction of Nineveh for more than one reason, folks. It wasn't just because they temporarily repented. It was because they had to persecute God's people and bring them into bondage to bring them to repentance. They had to basically bring them to their cross. God's people were refusing to repent and turn to the Lord and submit to His Word. And what God do? The same thing He always does historically, and that is raise up a world-ruling empire to conquer them and bring them to their cross. Oh, we don't want to hear that. I can't help it. That's what's going to happen. Okay. The historic view, the seed of all world kingdoms is alive today in the last kingdom. Notice, if you look at the end time view, you see Babylon, the great eagle, at the top of the image of the beast. So what if you look at the historic view? Let's look at the historic view. It's very neat. The seed of all world kingdoms is alive in the last kingdom. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon the earth. I want to make a point here. The fourth beast in Daniel's revelation is the sixth beast in Revelation's revelation. Why is that? It's because Revelation counts Egypt and Assyria, and Daniel didn't count until Babylon. Egypt and Assyria came before Babylon. So Daniel's fourth beast is Revelation's sixth beast. Okay? So, I'll read that again. The seed of all world kingdoms is alive in the last kingdom, and that is, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms. What makes the fourth one be different? It says, it shall be different. Now, think about it. The fourth one was Rome. In the days of Jesus, Rome was the world-ruling empire that conquered the people of God. And that kingdom grew into, through the legs, remember the legs of Daniel's revelation, all the way down to the toes. There was no break in it. See, the Roman Empire has been with us all the time. But to the world, it needs reviving because they can't see it. But we can see it because Daniel showed it to us. It's been with us all the time. It's been ruling the world. The Roman Empire's been ruling the world. It went from the thighs, which was Rome in Jesus' day, all the way down to the toes, which is Rome in our days. And the clay and the iron are mixed together in the toes in our day. He said it'll be different than all the kingdoms. Why is it different from all the kingdoms? The next part of the verse says, and shall devour the whole earth. The fourth beast, or the sixth beast of Revelation, is different from all the other beasts today. Why? Because now it's devoured the whole earth. It's not just a regional empire. It's a world empire. What does it mean to devour? If you devour something, it goes into you. It becomes part of your body, doesn't it? It goes into your body. Now, the UN has devoured the whole earth. Every nation is in that body. Shall devour the whole. It's different from the rest of them because they were individual empires, and now we're talking about a corporate empire that's made up of all empires. That's how it's different. Okay? And it shall tread down and break it in pieces. It's going to tread down and break it in pieces. Well, isn't that happening now? Yeah, but not like it's going to happen. It is happening now, but not like it's going to happen. I mean, they're going to give teeth to this beast. It's never really had the great authority that it's about to have. See, after this next war, folks, they're going to once again revive the UN. I mean, after World War I, people got afraid. They made the League of Nations to try to make a man of peace. And then World War II came along, so they changed it again to another world order called the United Nations. And so now we're about to enter into another world war, and it's going to scare everybody because nukes are going to go off and biologicals are going to be thrown around and stuff like that. And what's it going to do? It's going to scare everybody again. And where are we going this time? The dragon beast of Revelation 12. That's where we're headed right now. It shall devour the whole earth, shall break it in pieces. Notice, beasts 1 through 6 were raised up to conquer rebellious Israel. But beasts 7 and beast 8, which is nothing but the end time Roman Empire, it's a worldwide beast that will conquer worldwide rebellious New Testament spiritual Israel. See, now God's people, His New Testament spiritual Israel people, are worldwide. So now He needs a worldwide beast to conquer a worldwide people. The Bible says that the beast is going to make war on the saints and overcome them. What is it that the beast is overcoming here? Flesh. You remember when the Roman Empire crucified Jesus? What did they get? His spiritual man? Flesh. What did they do? They sent him into eternity. He's now Lord of everything. Is it bad to lose our flesh? No, that's what we're here for. It's just that sometimes we're not willing to do it without help. So God is raising up this seventh, which is the dragon, and the eighth, which is the beast of Revelation 13, which are both worldwide corporate empires, made up of all the seed of all previous empires. And they're going to bring God's New Testament Israel to their cross. And verse 12 says, and as for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. See, those beasts, if you look at the historic revelation there, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, well, they lost their dominions, but they're still alive for a season and a time. We know exactly how long. It's until the stone cut out of the mountain rolls down and hits the image of the beast in the toes, in the feet, and the whole thing crumbles. Yeah, that's right. The people of God are going to win this battle, folks. The beast makes war on the saints, but we win. I tell you, losing your flesh, crucifying the old man, deciding to fear the Lord and turn back to the Word of God is all good, and that's what this beast is bringing for us. It's always worked that way before. Just as the individual beast kingdoms brought Israel to repentance and faith, so the end time beast kingdom will do the exact same thing for God's worldwide people. Those who are circumcised in heart and not flesh. Ones who are Israelites indeed. So, the seventh and eighth Roman beasts of clay and iron in Revelation are going to conquer the people of God. Who's riding on the top of that thing? America is. Babylon is. Until the kings, the ten kings decide to cast her down, Revelation 17, and burn her with fire. She's riding on the top. And that's exactly what the Old Testament says. After 70 years, the bear came and conquered the eagle. And again, the Lord told me that was 7 years in the New Testament. We see that after 70 years from the time of the birth of Jesus, the harlot of apostate Israel was cast down and burned with fire. We see that in 70 years after Babylon brought into bondage the people of God, they were cast down. We see that in the book of Revelation, after 7 years of God's people being in bondage to the harlot on the back of the one world order beast, once again, Babylon is cast down. When you go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, what do you see there? You see, you're going from 70 to 7. God abbreviates in both ways in the Scriptures. He can go forward and backwards, or up or down. You know, he does that in many different ways in the Scriptures. But the type and the parable is there. See, some people have an objection to this idea of there being a one-world beast order called Antichrist, which is clearly what the Bible says. They say, for instance, in Daniel 7 and 11, that the Bible says that the beast was slain, and its body was destroyed, and it was given to be burned with fire. So they say, see there? It has to be a man. Yeah, well, the beast, every one of the beasts is not a man. Throughout history, never has been, is not in the book of Revelation. The beast is a corporate body kingdom in every case. Okay. Now, if you slay the beast, then its body is destroyed on earth, but it is cast into the fire, just like an individual. If you slay an individual, you destroy its body on earth, but it is cast into the fire. That's true about the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist abides in the body of Antichrist. The body of Antichrist is all lost humanity, just as the Bible says. So if you have a war in the midst of this one world order, a great civil war in the midst of this one world order, and it is put to death as a one world order, what's God going to do with those people? Well, their bodies might be destroyed on earth, but the spirit that comes up out of the pit and enters into perdition, which is talking about the sons of perdition, that spirit's going back where it came from. And in Revelation 17 and 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss. The beast was and is. Which one was and is? They all were. You know, I asked the Lord that one very particularly, and I get the word of knowledge and wisdom quite often. I said, Lord, which one was and is not? He said, they all of them. Each one of them was in their time, and then they were not. He says their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged. Then they were not, but now they're about to come up out of the abyss. The spirit of the beast is about to come up out of the abyss and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, they whose name hath not been written in the book of the life, when they behold the beast, how that he was and is not and shall be present. That's what the Greek says. He was, he is not, but shall be present. And all that dwell on earth shall worship him, everyone whose name hath not been written in the book of life. Everybody who's not in the book of life, they're going to worship him. You know why? Because we are the body of Christ. We worship him. He indwells us. They are the body of Antichrist. They worship Him. He indwells them. As members of Christ's body, we worship His Spirit from heaven. As members of Antichrist's body, they worship His Spirit from the pit. You know, in the historic or the end time view, the Roman Empire is the end time empire. Guess what? Their national symbol is the great eagle. So whether you start with the end time view or the historic view, you still end up with the great eagle. That was their symbol, the great eagle. Their standard had the eagle on top, just like the latter day head of the worldwide Roman Empire of the United States. Our standards, our flagpoles, had that eagle on top, just like them. Caesar's seat of power was called Capitol Hill. That's where he officiated over the Senate in a domed building. Sound real familiar, doesn't it? Why all these parallels? Because God wants us to show prophetically that history is repeating like He said it would. The things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com.
Cleanse my guilt and pride.
Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23, 1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, sacred heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you.